Again, I'm so thankful that you're here today for the message that I have to share with you entitled, Why Do I Need to Go to Church? Our text comes to us from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And would you stand with us, please, as we honor together the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to commend this service to you. We know that there are hearts today that are gathered not only in this assembly, but in other places throughout the land and country, even over the world. And they have come to the gracious Savior of mankind. We bring today our needs before you. We also ask, Father, that you would give us instruction that we might do that which would please you, to prove to you how much we love you. Thank you for this opportunity of your word and for this privilege of assembly. We pray your blessings in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you and be seated, please. Chuck Colson made this statement about the church in saying the church is precious. And he said, biblically, the church is an organism, not an organization. The church is a movement, not a monument. It is not a part of the community. It is a whole new community. It is not an orderly gathering. It is a new order with new values, often in sharp conflict with the values of the surrounding community. In the years that I have been involved in Christianity and visitation and certainly in the ministry, I haven't heard all of the excuses for not going to church, but I have heard a bunch. And here's some of those. Well, I have my own Bible and I can read it. Or I can pray. I don't need anybody to help me do that. I can read Christian books. Well, I listen to Christian radio. I watch Robert Shula on TV. Well, going to church just doesn't do anything for me. There's another that I've heard, I don't know if you have or not. I have to work all week long, and Sunday is the only day that I have for myself. Now, before I go to the next one, I would impose a question here. Who are you doing those other 6 days of the week for? Well, then here's this one. What about Tom Hanks in that movie, Castaway? There wasn't no church on the island that he was on. He didn't have a church. What about Robinson Crusoe? You telling me people stranded on desert islands can't know God? Well, what about missionaries who go and live in the jungle with remote tribes? They get along right well without a church, and I can too. Some of you will remember me telling about a young lady that attended our Sunday school class when we were in Sparta. And she had kind of fallen by the wayside, and just so happened that she worked there at the plant. Now, it didn't matter if I was a plant manager. I was also the missionary from this area. So I went to her one day, and I just shared with her how much that we were missing her in our church fellowship and certainly in our Sunday school class. She made this statement. Fits well with what I'm talking about. I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. Now, to that, I responded, I completely agree with you. I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. But now I want to put a but there. You do have to go to church to be obedient to the Lord. I want to say that again. You do have to go to church to be obedient to the Lord. Well, Pastor, what makes you say that? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, and while you're thinking about this verse of Scripture, isn't it amazing how that we have selective reasoning when it comes to the Bible? We look at the Bible and we pick out those verses of Scripture that give us that warm, fuzzy feeling about God is good. Amen, God is good. God is so good that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't think of a better gift, a greater gift, a more gracious gift than God giving His Son. But how selfish that we are. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe that collectively we could take a poll and we would agree that we are seeing difficult times coming on us. There are some of our congregation here this morning who were alive and who lived through what we know as the Great Depression. We're on the threshold of another, in case nobody has told you. Again, this morning, I was told by our granddaughter of another store in Dixon that is closing. I don't know if I told you this week or not, there was a phone call. Maybe I mentioned this Wednesday night. There was a phone call I received at Three Springs, and when I answered it, the voice on the other end said, "Are you hiring there?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry to tell you, but this operation has closed." Without even hesitation, it was a lady's voice, and she said, "I can't believe it. We're losing everything," and began to cry. You know what that message told me? Desperation had already moved into that house. Sad commentary that just because the Bible says it, for some people, that's not good enough. I don't know where else we're going to go for guidance. Where else are we going to go for truth? Where else are we going to go for instruction? To the Wall Street Journal? Are you going to go to the evening biased newscast? Is that where you're going to go? I'm going to stay with the book. Now, I've already told you what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we need to go to church. Well, why? There needs to be some obvious reasoning as why we need to go to church. And I think when folks get the reason why we need to go to church and they see the benefit that is there for them, we're so tainted by that. If it doesn't have, oh, by the way, I want pickles and cheese without asking. Here's my burden with this. As I look at life, I liken it to a journey. Any of you ever watch Man versus Wild? Just me. 2, 3, 4, 5. A few of us on the cutting edge of technology. Man versus Wild. This fellow jumps out of an airplane and he lands out in a remote area and he's got to survive off the elements till he's rescued. I leave that right there. But he has a week to get to some destination. From the day that you're born, you have a destination. You have a destiny. Now, for those of us men, for those of us who are men in this congregation today, those of us who have families, I want to say this directly to you. Think of the awesomeness of your responsibility. This is applicable to everyone that is here, but I want to first address the men in this congregation, because you have been given the awesome responsibility of providing and leading your families. I shouldn't have said that. Or should I? The awesome, fearsome responsibility. Let me ask you about precious treasure. Precious treasure. Now, I know when I think about this, when I ask you what is the most precious treasure in your household, you're going to say it's your family. It's your wife. It's your children. Now, on this destiny, this journey that you're in, as you're going through the country, did you know there are dangerous pitfalls that we're going to have to go around? I was thinking about this as I knew I'd be making this point in the message. And I believe that during World War II, they had those percussion mines that when the soldiers would be marching through the field and they would step on one of those and it would activate the detonator and would blow them to pieces. During the Vietnam War, they had those trip wires. And the soldiers would be marching through the dense undergrowth and without knowing it, they would hit one of those trip wires, be blown to pieces. Now then, in Iraq, we have moved on into this modern age where they now will put these explosives by the side of the road and then they'll watch from a distance until some vehicle or someone is in that area and they will activate that and blow them to pieces. We have a nephew in Texas who is still recovering from one of these. Now I've used that realistic illustration to tell you there's danger as we go through life. Danger. Danger. Not just physical danger, spiritual danger. Who ultimately and what ultimately is seeking to destroy us. Now, some of you are not married or whatever. Let's think about another precious treasure. What about that soul that you have? Your own personal well-being. What's precious to you? Now, as we traverse this troublesome land-minded field, we need some instruction. We need some guidance. We need some help getting through to the other side safely. All right? That's what this message is all about. Carrying precious treasure. What can the church do to help me? A book titled Bowling Along speaks of the collapse and revival of American community. Bowling Along is not a religious book. It's an analysis of the health of our sense of community in American culture. The author observes that since the 1950s, membership in voluntary community groups have been steadily declining. He traces memberships in groups like labor unions, the PTA, professional groups, grassroots political groups, civic groups, churches, synagogues, philanthropic groups such as the Rotary, and so forth. He observes that in every case, involvement in these groups have been steadily declining over these last 50 plus years. As a result of this, our neighborhoods are filled with people who feel disconnected and isolated from each other. I think one of the horrors of our society today, and you go and you visit some of these people who are left alone, and see if they don't tell you that one of their major problems is they're lonely. They're lonely. They want someone to talk to. They want a real face that they can connect with. That one-eyed monster up there on the wall, it may be entertainment, but it cannot speak to their needs. That's where we as a church can make a difference. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said this: put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. You notice the different times in that reading he talked about one another, one another, one another. No man is an island. We're connected. We're joined together. We're linked together in service for our Lord. Now in the text that I read for you this morning, and you read along with me, in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, the first thing that it says, and they. Who would you suppose is the they that he is making reference to? And they. Well, I think I can answer that for you. As you go back and read chapter 1, chapter 2, here in the book of Acts, we know that Jesus has ascended back to heaven. Now then, in the beginning of chapter 2, that promise that I spoke to you of last week, the Comforter has come, that Comforter has now shown up in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit has just blessed mightily. And now then, we find that He goes into this ministry. Verse 14 in chapter 2 of Acts, He begins to preach this message of Jesus Christ. And then as He preaches to them, we get on down to about verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I like that question. I like that searching for an answer. The Holy Spirit is convicting their heart. What shall we do? They. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, He didn't just tell them that. He kept on preaching the gospel to them. In other words, He exhorted them. Now then in verse 41, they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a time. Now then, I pose the question in verse 42, and they, all of these people now who have embraced the gospel, this constitutes a church, if you please. This is a body of believers, because we find in the closing verses, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They then were grouped together, all right? And they continued steadfastly, benefit one, in the apostles' doctrine. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? In the apostles' doctrine. You see, this message that Peter had just preached to them, this message of salvation, of grace, love, and forgiveness, he has taught them what Jesus has asked them to do. And they continued steadfastly in instruction. So one of the benefits of going to church is we get instruction. We find out what Christ wants us to do. You know, none of us really enjoy going to the doctor. Especially, you don't enjoy going to the doctor when you're well. I have a doctor's appointment this coming Friday. I'm going to have to drive all the way from Snakeville, USA, all the way to Nashville, Tennessee, and not get paid for it. To go in there, let them look at my tongue, take my temperature, see how much weight I've gained through Christmas, and then ask me how I feel. To which I'm going to reply, I feel great, cut down on my medicine. But now I'm going to go. Why am I going to go? Why am I going to go? Well, I've had 2 heart attacks. I have high blood pressure. My triglycerides just run completely off the scale. Now I'm a level 2 diabetic. I better hold on here. After I talk about all this, I might fall over right here. You see, common sense tells me that there are some dangers that I am and need to be aware of. Amen? Now you said that's common sense, Pastor. Just plain old everyday horse mule sense. Anybody that's got everything wrong with them, you got wrong with them, they don't even need to be getting up driving. So I'm going to go to the doctor. Why? It's good precautionary movements. It allows them to assess the state of my health. They'll draw my blood every now and then, and they'll do all kind of tests on it and say, well, we see that this is this, 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 this. And then they'll make adjustments. You know, when we're going to church, we go because we know there's a benefit involved in it for us. I didn't get a whole lot of enthusiastic response to that. Some go to church because they feel obligated to. Well, that's okay. You keep on coming. If that's your motive for coming, you keep on coming. But I want you to know there's far more in it for you than an obligatory purpose. Did I say that right? Oh, worried. You see, whenever we gain that understanding of our relationship to Jesus, why we do the things that we do, and there grows then a hunger, a desire, an intensity in our heart. Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. I was listening to my next favorite speaker this morning, Brother David Jeremiah. You say, well, Brother James, who's your most favorite speaker? I don't need to tell you that. Brother David Jeremiah. And he was giving an illustration. He was preaching about tithe. I said, man, I need to get a copy of this and play it. Great message. And he was preaching about this pastor had made this real pitch. And then he watched the offering. And he watched this little girl that was close to the front of the church. And as the offering was being passed, she was sliding a family heirloom off of her finger. That had been her mother's. That ring had been her mother's. And she was sliding that ring off her finger. And when the offering plate came by, she put it in the offering plate. He watched that. And as the service was over, as Brother David was telling, he immediately went to her and he said, honey, don't you worry about your ring. You didn't have to give that ring. I'll get it back for you. I like what he said in the story. She looked at him and said, Mr. Preacher, I didn't give that to you. I gave that to God. Wow. You know, when he told that story, what happened to me? Big old lump come up in my throat. You can't give too much to God. Now, this benefit then of coming together and finding out what is it that God wants from me so that I can know more about Him and can have more of Him in my life. We know that there are dangers, there's instruction that we have to be aware of. And the Bible tells us about that. But we also know that there's much that God wants to tell us about what's in store for us. That's where we get that instruction. Now then it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Now you thought just because we got together around the table downstairs or something that we were only reason we were doing that is because that we were Baptist and it was written in our bylaws. Fellowship is important. Fellowship is important. Do you notice that when we have fellowship, it gives us the opportunity to spend time with one another? We all are aware of the rat race of society. We all are aware that now then people want to become isolated. You go into these little communities now, and what's one of the commonalities that you see in them? They build fences around their backyard so that they can be isolated. Now they say it's so that they can put their dog out. That's not true. They want to go in. You know, I was thinking about this week. Been working on this sermon all week, but when Brother Wilson asked me what the title was Friday night, I couldn't think of it. Had to go look it up. But I remember, as do you, that there was a time when you would see a car coming down the road and the kids would all run out in the yard because we've got company coming. Now then they run draw the blinds. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. I have been to people's houses, and I knew they were there because I could see right below the bottom of the vine. Eyes peeking out. Knock on the door. I wouldn't open the door. Now, you see, something has happened. And it's, I think that we're all plagued with the same thing. Now, Sister Martha said the reason we moved where we did when we moved here, we didn't want no company. And obviously we didn't because we don't get no company. When they come to our house, we know one of two things. It's either Jehovah's Witness or they're lost. Jehovah's Witness don't even come anymore. Well, fellowship. You know, in a sense, what we're doing right now is having fellowship. We're here gathered collectively in this sanctuary to get instruction from God about what is it is involved in this going to church. What's the benefit in it for me? Sure, I get to come and pay my tithe, and I'm going to preach a message soon, again, on the blessing and the joy of the tithe. And I love to preach on tithe. When I was asked to preach over at Missionary Ridge, I was given the list of topics, I said, I want to preach on tithe. Because to me, to get to give to the cause of Christ, He's given me the health to work. He's given me the skill to do whatever it is that I do. The question and jury's still out on that. But I'm so thankful for what God has done for us. Someone close to me said recently, you know, you're beginning to look old. And I told my sister, whom I write to every day, I said, you know, I'm thinking about maybe in about 4 years slowing down. She wrote back and said, ha. That's all she said. I think it's pretty fantastic still to be able to scale a tree at 70 and go deer hunting in a stand. I think it's also not too good prudence, but be that as it may. Aren't you thankful for what God has given you? You see, then to get to give back to Him a portion of that which He has blessed me to give. Wow. Now fellowship, that's extra. Fellowship. That's what they were doing. This early church set the pattern for us. Fellowship. Besides that, there's safety in numbers. How many of you watch Natural Geographic? Five of us again. Whenever they do this great wilderness. Let me turn back on. Wildebeest migration. Hear all these wildebeest coming, and they're standing up here on the bank because down in the river are crocodiles. And they don't want to go first because somebody's going to get eat. But the majority of those wildebeest are able to get through. Why? Sheer numbers. Sheer numbers. You know what I'd rather preach to? Is an auditorium running over with people than I had to 15. I like numbers. Now, numbers don't tell you anything other than that you have more opportunity. So that's why you're important also. Fellowship, all right? Now, it also says in breaking of bread. You know what they're talking about there? That's observance of the ordinances. It's an important part of our Christianity. Every year when we take the Lord's Supper, what this says to me, that's a serious, serious time. The Bible teaches us that at that time, we should do some real evaluation of ourselves and of our relationship to the Lord, lest we partake unworthy. I know one fellow who would not. It was for, I guess I dealt with him for 3-4 years before he would ever take the Lord's Supper. You know why? He said, I'm not worthy. And you know what I said? You're absolutely right. And if you think you're going to get good enough, you're wrong. You'll never be worthy. But its purpose, its intent, is to remind us He gave Himself for us. So we get to observe the Lord's Supper. Now then, He also said in prayer. A benefit of coming together is that we can have corporate prayer. We pray for one another. We lift up one another in our prayers. That's a benefit. All right? Then we talked about effective outreach. Here, whenever Peter preached this message, we find that great fear came on them. because the Holy Spirit convicted their hearts. And they had effective outreach because 3,000 souls were saved. In today's society, in today's church, we come together, not here at New Hope, thank the Lord. We come to church to be entertained. Whoever's got the best band, whoever's got the most witty speaker, then they'll get a good gathering. But I'm not saying everybody's that way, please. But in many cases, I'm afraid that is what's going on. Church has become not what I'm talking about. It has become big business. Now, here we're talking about common cause. I've already spoken about effective outreach. Common cause. In this particular time of the early church, there was then this great need because of the Roman oppression, because of where they were. All that believed were together and had all things common. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. They shared with one another. And that's what I want to do. You know, if I were to be off somewhere, let me say I've got to take a trip, and I'm going to Missouri. And I get off out, what lies between here and Missouri? Arkansas. I get way up in the foothills of Arkansas, and my car breaks down. And I discover that I left my credit card at home. Hallelujah. And I broke down. Who is it that I can call? I know. I'll call someone at the White House. And they'll come and tow me in. Yeah, you betcha. I know. I'll call... Who will I call? You know who I could call? I can call my church. My church will help me. Whenever we have these people from out of state that come by here, and they need help, and I ask them, what is your church affiliation? You know the young couple that came here a while back? And I asked them, when you get back home, could you just at least send me a card and let me know that you made it back home? You know what I've heard from them? I'm smiling to keep from crying. Nothing. And so you say, well, brother pastor, were we scammed again? I don't know. But we won't lose our blessing. We gave for the right cause. We gave for the right reason. We gave out of a love for humanity. And our hearts reached out to those children. We won't miss our blessing. But I asked that young couple, where's your church? Why can't you call your church? And you, well, I won't go there. But in the early church, they had a common cause and common together. And they had mutual assistance. 2 and 45. Parted unto all men. Every man had need. Now then, I want to wrap this up. Bring it up. We exit. Here's what they said. Continuing daily with one accord. Well, I went to church this month. Is that enough? I went to church 2 months ago. Is that enough? How often should I go to church? I gave you a common sense rationale a little bit ago. Why do I go to the doctor when I don't feel like I need to go to the doctor? I go because I know that it's in my best interest to go. Why do I go to church? I know that it's in my best interest because there's danger out there. There are lions lurking in the shadows that are going to devour me. What Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he uses then the illustration, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking those whom he may devour. The biggest bill of goods that Satan's got going for him is today is, don't get excited about that. Just kind of put it on hold. You know, that preacher, he gets paid to get excited about stuff like that. That's what he's paid to do. To threaten you, to make you feel guilty. I want you to know, dear church, it's far more than that. Continuing daily with one accord. You know what one accord says? Unity. Unity. You get that? Oneness. Now, I never did answer that question for you. How often should I go to church? Because I can't answer that question for you. Like so many other things, that's a question you have got to answer. Because ultimately, you are the one who will answer for it. Breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. Before I conclude that verse, I'm reminded of some young couples that I've seen. And I visited them. And, you know, I was thinking of a friend of mine when I first moved to Tennessee. He lived over between Nashville and Clarksville. Some little town over there. He was pastoring over there. House full of kids. Matter of fact, he had five. He was going to Bible college. Poor as Job's turkey. Came to visit me, driving an old Nash car. Tires as ball-headed as... they were slick. And you know, I think back to those days. And I was puttering around in a 59 Volkswagen. Had enough power that if you didn't get behind the transfer truck going downhill, you wasn't going nowhere. And we'd drive all over the place. Didn't think a thing about it. I remember going down that hill out of Bordeaux, and I had that thing, boy, I had her pegged out, and all of a sudden she quit. Every now and then, the pin would work out of the fuel pump on it. She'd be just dead as dead to me. I'd get back there, being the mechanic that I am, and I'd raise it up, and I'd find that pin, and I'd put it back in that fuel pump, and I'd fire up, and away I'd go. Did I have a credit card in those days? Are you kidding? I was lucky to have $5 in those days. Never thought about those things. Here's the point. You go to some of these young couples now, and they don't have anything, but they act like, and they are, just as happy as they can be. They have found the love of their life, and they're truly in love, and they've got bologna and stale bread, and they're just doting on one another, and they're just so in love. Then I've gone to other folks' houses, 2, 3, 4-car garage. Walk in, and the floor looks like it's been spit shine. And you go in, and you sit down just a little bit, and you've been to those places where you can just sense and feel a strain. Nobody's comfortable. Nobody's relaxed. There's no happiness here. There's no joy there. Now, I think that I've used this to illustrate what is available to us in Christ. See, we may not have the cathedral building here, but if we've got the one enduring element, we've got the most important element. Love for God, love for one another. That's what he's talking about right here. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I trust this message has been challenging for us to be faithful to the Lord's house because of the benefit that is available to us. Your personal benefit. I trust that it's been challenging to do that. I trust that it also has been encouraging. We're in the new year. We've got a whole new year ahead of us now to live faithfully for the Lord. And I trust that it will cause you to make a commitment. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more faithful. Then I trust also that if you're not saved here this morning, that it will have served to speak to your heart of God's love for you and His desire for you.